The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you may have gathered, we are out and about today, but not a million miles from our base in Marconi House. In fact, it's only 700 metres away. And as you can hear, we have a live audience with us. We are coming to you from the Grand Dam of Dublin, the Venerable Old Lady of St. Stephen's Green, the Shelburne Hotel, which is celebrating its 200th birthday this year. So many of the rich and famous have crossed its threshold from Hollywood. There's Alfred Hitchcock, John Ford, Elizabeth Taylor, Paul Newman, Grace Kelly, and her husband, Prince Rainier of Monaco, a young senator from Massachusetts, later to become President John F. Kennedy, and legends abound. Did Peter O'Toole really bathe in champagne here? Did Jimmy Cagney dance on the piano where you might be having your afternoon tea? I don't know, but the stories are there. Many a rowdy session in the Horseshoe Bar. You might have come across Brendan Behan or Paddy Kavanagh or Sean O'Riordan or Paddy Maloney and his cohorts. And this old lady played her part in the 1916 Rising and in the formation of the fledgling state, of which we shall hear much later on. But first, to politics across the water. As you know, the UK local election results and some by-election results and mayor results are being counted. And the big news is, I suppose, but not the unexpected news, the Tories have not done well. I'm joined now by someone who's a wealth of experience inside Number 10, author, director of a think tank called Civil Exchange, former private secretary to UK Prime Ministers Margaret Thatcher and John Major, Caroline Slocow. Caroline, good morning.
Good morning.
As I say, not unexpected, but still a disaster for Rishi Sunak.
Yes. And I think the by-election result that we've got so far is really a terrible defeat. And it's not just that it's a 26-point swing to Labour, which is a huge swing, and there have only been three other swings of that size since World War II. But it's also that it's one of a series of big swings of over 20 percentage points that have happened in recent times. So it's confirming a pattern. There are more election results to come, of course, and some of the competitions for the mayoralities will be significant, and they may, one or two of them may go Conservatives' way. We'll have to see, but it's sending a pretty clear message that the plan, which Rishi Sunak has been talking about, isn't working. You know, he's been doing everything, really, pulling out the stops before these elections to show that he's tough, for example, on migration, the Rwanda scheme. But it doesn't seem to be working with the electorate.
Yeah. The latest stunt, I suppose, was offering Ireland the opportunity to join in with the UK in the Rwanda scheme, you know, like the Godfather, an offer that he knew we were going to refuse. So the inverted Godfather, I suppose. But still, it's a bit of a stunt. I'm not sure whether it played at all in UK media, but certainly we took note of it here. The question of the mayoral elections, where they may have victories. It turns out that a couple of the mayoral candidates never mentioned Rishi Sunak at all. On advice from Boris Johnson, don't mention you're a Tory. Just play for yourself.
Sorry, yes. I mean, I think it's that bad. You know, it's that bad that not only do they not mention that they're a Tory, but they actually use different colours. They didn't use the Tory blue in their election material. And, you know, I think the trouble is that the brand is, you know, seriously damaged, you know, not perhaps irretrievably. You know, they may recover post-election, but I'm talking general election here. But the brand, you know, has suffered hugely, and, you know, partly, let's face it, because of Boris Johnson and Partygate and all that's followed from that. Then Liz Truss, you know, had his disastrous premiership. But it's to me, it's really a loss of trust that we're seeing here. That they don't trust the Tories to deliver, and they don't like what they, you know, what's happened under their watch. Yeah. So now, you know, it does look like a defeat is coming soon. You know, maybe by the end of the year.
There is one word that is never uttered aloud, and it seems to me to be the heart of the Tories' troubles. I mean, people do get jaded with governments anyway, and they tend to turf them out from time to time. But that word that is never uttered aloud is Brexit.
Yes. I mean, it's really striking that neither Labour nor the Conservatives even mention Brexit, not even as a... you know, you would expect perhaps that the Tories might be talking about it as a triumph. You know, they've got Brexit done. But the problem is they haven't really got Brexit done. You know, there are still lots of loose ends, and it's only this week that new controls have finally been put in place after a five-year delay. Border checks on food and veterinary products. And, you know, the cost in terms of our economy is there. And also the running of public services, you know, the loss of critical, you know, staff that has happened as a result of Brexit. But no, it's not mentioned. And I think it's just because it's just so toxic. You know, there's so much division about it. And I think that Labour think that they'll lose votes if they start talking about it. And I think the Conservatives think that they'll lose votes if they start talking about it. But it's a running sore. And, you know, the Rwanda situation is an example of it. You know, the underlying issue is that we no longer have a returns policy to Europe, and as a loss, you know, as a result of Brexit. And, you know, the issue of people crossing the Irish border, you know, that sort of demonstrates the fragility of those arrangements, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You have to have an
Caroline,
open border, but it doesn't really work.
When I first heard of the Rwanda policy, I actually thought I had to look at the date. Is this April Fool? And it wasn't, of course. But it does seem so outlandish that a British government, particularly one run by, at the moment, by the son of an immigrant family, should be dispatching people from all parts of the world who are fleeing either, you know, economic difficulty or war and famine, that they should be dispatched to a place like Rwanda. It just seemed, as I say, like a bad joke.
It's an extraordinary policy. I mean, it's sort of harebrained. It's also extremely expensive. I mean, one person voluntarily went to Rwanda over the course of this week, but that's going to cost the taxpayer £140,000, you know, for one person. It's expensive, but the thing which particularly worries me, you know, having worked for people like John Major and Margaret Thatcher, is that it breaks international law. You know, the Margaret Thatcher said the first duty of government is to obey the law. And we've got a situation where they passed a bill in order to make this happen that essentially says that the Supreme Court's ruling is wrong and breaks international humanitarian law, disregards the European Convention on Human Rights, and there's even talk of leaving that. This causes huge damage to our soft power, you know, our standing in the world, and, you know, all for a scheme which is very unlikely to work, you know, because the numbers are going to be so small and the numbers crossing are so relatively large. Yeah. And, you know, behind that, people are being locked up now. And you know, there's the cost of that, and then there's people just in limbo. They can no longer claim asylum in the UK, which is extraordinary. You know, it's a basic human right, and they're just left in limbo. You know, with the best thing that might happen to them, perhaps being, you know, sent off to Rwanda. Otherwise, you know, what are they going to do with their lives?
Yeah. What is going to happen, do you think, on foot of these results? I mean, there may be a few positive blips if those mayoral contests come through, and some of the Tories are already spinning this morning that it's not all good news for Keir Starmer personally. But are we likely to see an election in the UK in short order, or are they going to sort of cling to power for as long as their term allows?
Well, I mean, I think the most likely scenario is that they will cling to power as long as their term allows and hope that the electorate will start to see that things are getting better, inflation is falling, and so forth. But there were, you know, there was alarming news from the OECD a couple of days ago, yesterday, I think, saying that, you know, we were going to have the worst performing economy in the G7 next year. So, and that things will be worse this year than expected. So they'll be looking at the economy, but I think and seeing when they can choose the most the most beneficial moment for them, when things are looking at their best. The other scenario, which is certainly being talked about, is that there will be another leadership contest and Rishi Sunak will be overthrown and somebody else will be put in his place. It all seems a bit desperate, especially when you remember that, you know, we've already had five Conservative prime ministers. And, you know, to sort of go through that again, I think will only reinforce the instability of the party to the electorate. And, you know, I think a lot of people just really can't face the idea. But it could happen. And I think there's that moment, you know, that sort of Titanic moment when you think everything's reasonably stable and then suddenly, you know, you start to slide into the ocean. And I think, you know, we've got to look, you know, we're all holding our breath to see what happens over the next few hours and days. You know, results will come today and then some more on Saturday. So we'll see. But my view, my prediction really, is that Rishi Sunak will stay in power you know, he will limp on. And they will talk about changing the messaging, et cetera, in the hope that that will make things better. But whatever does happen, I think they're going to be very dispirited because I think they'd hope that all the things that they were doing, you know, they're cutting national insurance, so there was people were paying lower taxes than they might otherwise have been paying, you know, the lowering of inflation, all of these things. You know, he thought these things would work. So he'll be sitting in number 10 now, I think, with his head in his hands thinking, what do I do next? And that's a bad thing for a prime minister.
It certainly is. Caroline, thank you very much for joining us. Caroline Slocock, former private secretary to UK Prime Ministers Margaret Thatcher and John Major, and director of a think tank called Civil Exchange. Interesting that the foreign secretary of the current government is Lord Cameron, David Cameron, the man who probably started the slide with his ill-starred Brexit referendum. Well, now it's time for cash.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.